up on you.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
Oh,
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, our broadcast covers the entire southeastern Pennsylvania area. However, people from all over the world do tune in to us. People who lived in America are interested to see what's going on in America, have family in America. And I want to tell you, I'm so pleased to hear from you. I first would like to say a special thank you to our very, very wonderful panel members, including Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And I want to encourage you to shop online or in person at the Made in America store. The link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, or you can go right to the MadeInAmericaStore.com. Also with us is Larkin Conley, who is the business advocate and a SCORE mentor for a long time. And our Rich Logis is still on a special assignment. So we're going to have a little bit of a party today, and I hope that all of you are ready to sit back, relax, and enjoy. First of all, do contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. Send them a text, send them an email, however you communicate best with your family and friends. And we're going to have a lot of questions and a lot of discussions which are going to open the eyes of the people today. First, I want to thank everyone that contacts me to say that they tune in, that they're supporting Jobs Here for America. They're supporting trade classes for our youth in the schools because we really need those people now more than ever, and that they are personally going out and supporting American workers and giving me their feedback as to what they experienced during their trips to the store. Now, I use a lot of their thoughts and concerns during the radio broadcasts and also in my weekly commentaries. And I welcome you today to send me some information. You can email it to me, whatever's on your mind, to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, everyone on the panel and everyone listening, as Larkin often says, things have to change in Washington. Well, I have to say that things in Washington often move extremely, extremely slow. However, I have a piece of legislation that I would like to, you know, mention today. It was introduced in the United States Senate in March of 2021. That's almost 2 years ago. And the legislation was called the No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act. And it was introduced into the Congress by several good people. I'll try to mention them today. And it was also co-sponsored by over 100 of our congressional leaders and senators. And after a delay, the bill is now being discussed once again. Now, the United States bill, No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act. And what that's trying to do is seek that multinational corporations that left America pay the same tax rate on profits earned abroad as they do living here and working here and having their business right here in the United States of America. The No Tax Break for Outsourcing Act would end tax incentives created in past years that would end the tax collected from the taxes. They'll help to pay for infrastructure and other things that are needed to fix up America, even put towards special programs, maybe in the schools and things like that. This thing might be something we could discuss, and I'd like to know what everybody on the panel thinks. What we did over the years is we allowed America to be sold down the river. And if passed, this bill, the No Tax Breaks for Outsourcing Act, would end those loopholes for corporations that offshore American jobs while funneling profits into overseas tax havens, into foundations, and all this sort of stuff, so that they can avoid paying the taxes for those things coming here to the United States to be sold. Now, many of the products that you and I buy are made for about 25% of the cost that we actually buy them for here in the USA. What's happening is the good people in the other countries work for very, very little money. And then the corporations go over there. They have special merchandisers, special handlers that take care of all that. Some of the companies were sold off to foreign countries. Our beautiful brand names that were here in the United States for 80, 100, 120 years now don't even belong to any company here in the United States, because the people decided to retire. The people just left. They didn't want to be, you know, bothered anymore. So they sold it to any person who was willing to give them the right dollar amount. Now, those companies right now can't be taxed because they belong to another country. However, people in America that own the companies can be taxed with this. Now, Senator Chris Van Hollen, one of the bill's sponsors, said that over 100 members of the House and Senate are listed as co-sponsors, and American families and small businesses continue to fight to stay afloat every day while big corporations are raking in profit, while shifting jobs overseas where there is less labor costs and less regulations. However, the product comes to America and is sold at prices as though they were made here in the United States of America. So the middlemen are doing well. Now, Senator Whitehouse said, it's time to roll back incentives for big multinational corporations to ship jobs abroad and start helping American workers and domestic companies compete on a level playing field. Now, I've been following this for more than almost 2 years in March. And of course, as people say, things move very, very slowly in Washington. It should have been done 8-10 years ago when it was first put into effect. Then they were discussing possibly we'll do the tariff thing again and everybody will be treated equal. So whatever they decide, at least it's back on the table in Washington. Now, in addition to requiring multinational companies to pay the same tax rate on profits earned abroad as they do if they were here in the United States, the bill would also apply the taxes on foreign profits on a country-by-country basis to prevent companies from, you know, dodging taxes by setting up special subsidies, foundations, as I mentioned, and so many other ways that they have to make sure that they're able to keep that money within their own system. Now, the lawmakers are saying that if this was able to be passed, it would save $77 billion in revenue to $270 billion, which could be put into programs that we need here in the country, including going to the schools to promote trade programs and things like that. In 2017, tax laws encouraged multinational corporations to just let it go and do whatever you choose when they tried to do it in 2017. But then it just sat and then came back again in 2021. Senator Doggett said, it's time to add more jobs here in America and insist that profits earned from American consumers that are taxed in America would no longer be able to be hidden in tax havens. Now, I'd like to ask, I'm going to turn today first to Larkin Conley, because you have some idea of what's going on in the multinational business system. Larkin, I did send you this information in the email. I hope you got it. And I want to know what you think of this particular bill. And is it something that we should all press so that it doesn't get another two-year hiatus?
Well, first of all, Michael, good morning to everybody. Glad to see Bruce on. Thank you, Henry, for, as Mark always says, making us sound good. I read the legislation that you sent me, the No Tax Break for Outsourcing Act, it's way past due. My first comment, though, was one of the major sponsors is an Oregon senator by the name of Jeff Merkley, and he's a Democrat, which kind of surprised me because, you know, Democrats aren't usually pro-business. I mean, they just flat aren't. They can say whatever they want. Washington doesn't work, and it isn't because of the Democrats. It's because of both sides. But let's get real. When we get down to specific issues, you know, the Democrats aren't pro-business. Republicans are, maybe to a fault, but whatever. My comment about the legislation is that we must keep on telling ourselves that no matter what happened, no matter how we got where we are, we have to prepare ourselves in any way that we can to compete on a world level. I watched a very interesting interview this morning with Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. And, of course, Starbucks has a heavy presence in China. And he claims that China has truly embraced the American way of selling, marketing, merchandising, coffee, and that he feels very welcome over there. He has met Xi Jinping and says that the man is insanely proud and partisan for his nation, which is nothing more or less than we could have suspected anyway. But, you know, Schultz's remarks are, listen, we have to compete. We can sit here and kill ourselves about what we did years ago, but we can't. We have to turn our attention to what is it that we're going to do in this country. How are we going to prepare ourselves to compete in a world marketplace, in a world climate? And there are a lot more nations, a lot more continents getting involved than have been in the past. And we're going to have to compete. And, you know, he's talking about competing on a different level than with guns. He's, you know, war and taking over countries, that's not the immediate prospect for anybody. So that's what I would say. I would say I support this as long as we recognize and understand that we're going to have to compete for the remainder of our time on this earth, certainly mine. We're going to have to learn how to compete in a global marketplace.
You know, Larkin, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the biggest discussions 5 years ago when this first came up was how are we going to get back people with skills here in the United States of America, people with skills, with patience. Unfortunately, by cutting back on the offering the trades and technology programs in America schools, most people feel schools don't offer an adequate selection of life skills education, and that means that it's inadequate education in America's public schools, which is being paid for by our tax dollars. And that's the situation. I have to say this, too. School boards are getting this message loud and clear, because it's very nice to graduate 400, 500 students a year. But when you look at where the students have gone 5 years after graduation, you see this as a problem. Some of those boys and girls after graduation are going into programs to learn skills that they could have had in high schools paid for by our tax dollars. And if they wanted to go the next step up, that would be fine. But we're not giving an adequate education. Of course, reading, writing, math, and all that is wonderful. But leaving the trades behind has hurt America's young people very, very badly. And it also, when you're in a skilled jobs program or you're doing any kind of anything where you're going to have focus and consistency, you get yourself ready for work. Anything that you work hard for, anything that you earn, you appreciate more. And then it, when it's just given to you. Also, I'm hearing and I'm seeing even unions and everybody else is saying, if you have the qualities to be part of our team, we will train you from scratch. And many of these good souls who are graduating from our public high schools that offered those same programs 25 years ago, they're not coming out anymore. The programs were canceled. So this is another thing that I've been pushing these people in Washington to put this. I mean, only a certain portion of the funds that are used in our school systems come from the federal government. The rest come from local taxes. However, and the big however is, the government can put down the idea that this has to be addressed, at least in 30% of the schools, 20%, whatever formula they come up with. When you look at some of our school districts, many of those schools, we had 13, 14 schools that were offering that in Philadelphia. Today, it's a few. Why? Right now, we don't have people. So getting the people trained, getting the people focused, getting them to be consistent, getting them to feel good about who they are and knowing what they want to do really has to start in our junior and senior high schools.
Well, I can't say as I disagree with that. I think that is one aspect of the issue. We can train people until they can single-handedly build a home on their own or build a car or whatever whatever trade they decide to go into. But at the same time, our business leaders have to be prepared to support the country in the face of, I'm trying to word just tenderly, so in the face of having to compete in a worldwide market. I mean, I don't know how to put it any stronger than that. We're not prepared. Somebody told me the other day that, let me think about it. It's a private school. Oh, it's in, what's the school in Lancaster? Franklin and Marshall, is that in Lancaster?
Yes.
It's now the most expensive school to go to in the country. $65,000 a year.
Now, Larkin, that's a very good way to move into this situation, my subject now. And that is, it's time for parents to become more involved in everything. I know my own kids. I knew what was going on all the time. What was their story? What they looked forward to? You know, what was their future ambitions? Now, parents also have to become more involved because when businesses say, I could interview 100 people and find two qualified for what I need them for, that's pretty scary. Now, a business could go to one of our high schools and say, I'd like to sponsor a sophomore, a junior, or a senior and have them ready to come with us if that's the way it's supposed to, or it's going to be. But there's no places for them to go anymore, for them to sponsor. So what the big businesses are saying, yes, if this bill passes, as it should have passed 6 or 7 years ago, if this bill passes, it will help to make it more cost-effective to make things in America. And with all the inflation that we are experiencing, that simply means that, you know, the ships bringing the stuff over from foreign countries, it's going to be as expensive to bring it over as it would be to make it in America. But having our young people prepared, you know, every day you have to be prepared for whatever occasion or whatever situation arises. And that's what our young people need to know, that our leaders, community leaders, elected leaders, business leaders are looking in the direction of making sure that they know where they're going and how much they are needed.
So if I can add to this, American business leaders have got to think of new creative ways to involve their employees in the manufacture of their product.
Yes.
Period. Amen. Business or employee-owned companies, ESOPs, profit sharing. Home Depot just raised the bar this morning by announcing a complete new look at the way they pay and things that they are going to start offering in order to encourage people to work for their company. A lot of it had to do with, obviously, an increase in pay to no start less than $15 an hour. And that if they do that, then they've got to, you know, obviously pay some of the people that have been there for 5 or 10 years have got to see an increase too, which fair is fair. But they're also going to pay for college educations. They're going to pay for this, that, and the other thing. This is one of the main things that has to be considered by business and how they can step up and make a difference.
Right. And Larkin, we need more radio broadcasts, more conferences, more elected leaders discussing these bread and butter issues. These are bread and butter issues. I'm going to turn to Mark right now and ask him. Mark, you're in the situation of bringing people into your business there to work in the welding end of it. How are you finding the availability of people to come and work?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Larkin, Bruce, and Mike, Henry, always. Mike, you guys touch on a lot of things, so I'm going to answer your question. But first, that Oregon Senator, I think Jeff Merkley, sent you that No Tax Breaks Outsourcing Act.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a major. You know, I absolutely support that. You know, the best thing he said in that little brief description, our tax code should never make it easier or more profitable to ship jobs overseas. And I think that's key, especially with what I'm into. I want to touch on, too, I mean, America designed this whole thing after World War II, globalization, world order. We gave everybody the security to have their own economies. They could ship things across seas and didn't have to worry about a tax. America did that. This was a plan. You know, the more I study it and look at it, and now we're finding little breakups in the supply chains and whatnot. One thing I always want to do, Curtis Ellis and me, we always, people need a purpose, you know, so it's not all about money. People do need something to do, and that's one thing. We did ship a lot of our textile, a lot of our jobs overseas that people could have done better here. I did have a great company on. We got a new vendor. They're called MI Americas, and what they produce is a latex glove, guys, down in Alabama. They call, he said, I'm from L.A., and that's Lower Alabama. I thought that was funny. Not L.A., California. But, you know, great guys, Ed and Pat, and they got back into it. 1988, they opened this company, and then they were forced out of business by overseas competition, people making latex gloves cheaper. They're the only place, I want to say, in the United States now. They reopened in 2022 with the pandemic. The last 3 years were coming on, you know, this March, when hand sanitizer, masks, and gloves were the hottest things, and they found out the Chinese ones. They told me yesterday on the show, you know, the gloves they put on a lot of times from overseas have splinters in it, have problems with it for physicians, doctors, nurses, salon, you know, your painters, to whoever's working with chemicals. You need a real good glove, and they call it a straight dip process. They went through, it's pretty interesting. There's a lot into making a mold, dipping it three times, and making a latex glove that's fentanyl proof too now. So I thought it was great. This company's back, 2022, going strong. Love it. They they streamlined automation, they could put out, I think, a billion gloves a year, you know, but they're on the move. It was neat to see the pandemic. It woke us up, and I was hoping it would never be forgotten. We didn't make our own PPP, personal protective equipment, PPE. You know, so that was a neat company. They're on the move in Alabama. So as we're talking, a lot of things are being, you know, put back here. And I think, Mike, you know, a lot's to be said about workers right now. We've got the rapid inflation still on. We've got supply chain issues. You still can't order an F-250, 350 truck. They opened it up in January. They shut it back down right now. There's still all these computer chip problems. They just don't talk about it. It's not what they want to sell right now. It hurts me because I'm a truck upfitter. I put a plow on it. I put a dump body on it. I put a flatbed on it. I put a liftgate. So right now it kills our business because you can't complete sales. So a lot's still going on, and it leads me to the worker cultural change. You know, work's just not a priority to everybody. And I agree with Larkin, like the Home Depots, and I try to pay more. Last year I passed that dollar to everybody. At 60 employees, it cost me $128,000 to give a dollar raise to everybody. That's all great, but when I've got electricity and utilities going up 30 to 53%, it's hard to be able to charge enough over the counter for our smaller companies to be able to keep, you know, we want to be fair. We want to be the best for our employees, give the best benefits. You know, I carried them through the 3 years when we didn't have a lot of work. I paid the payrolls $50,000 a week. My team kind of appreciates that. So they're, you know, now we're getting into some different things. But it's hard to justify. There's so many dynamics to what's going on in the last 3 years right now. But making things in America make sense, gives people a purpose. It is coming back. Like it or not, we have, I think the food business, food process is going to be a big deal, you know, processing that right now. So it's a hard, you know, it's hard to find welders right now. We try to bring kids through, give them exposure. I want that done in the high schools. I want it done in 7th, 8th grade. I want them walked through. I want the metal shops, wood shops back in the regular schools so they can get exposed to it. Even if you're becoming a doctor, you should be able to learn how to work a screwdriver. I've always said that. So a lot to that, Mike, a lot going on. We got a long way to go. There's not a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. I've had a cheese factory close their retail division over the weekend. I had a good friend sell his construction equipment company, which really surprised me. It's tough times. I said buckle up way back when. It's still buckle up in America.
You are so right, Mark. Wow. I have to tell you, and if we don't do something about this, it's going to not be fixable in 5 or 8 years. We have to do it now. And I'm glad that some of the senators and some of the new congressional people that just got into office are starting to say we have to address issues to get more young people skilled for the jobs we need in America, for the jobs we need right now. And by the way, it's nothing worse than hearing people saying, by the way, there is a problem we're having. We can't have, you know, products brought in because we have a lot of demand for certain products, but the supply is very, very limited. So we can't, you know, make any commitments to you. How is that possible? Because of shipping errors? Containers being delayed? What kind of nonsense is this?
Mike, I want to touch on something, too. Like, you know, my daughter's becoming a teacher. She's 3.5 years in at Buff State. But you go back 10 years ago or so, you couldn't get a teaching job here. There was plenty of them. My nephew's best friend had to go to South Korea to get a teaching job. Now there's such a shortage of teachers. State police, I've got so many state police friends that retired because no respect to the police. I got teachers that retired, no respect to the teachers. There's so much going on over the last 3 years. These are all, so there's job openings, but the want is gone. You know, we want to give people a purpose, but the want, work, you know, is not a priority no more. And that's something we've got to work on as a society.
Well, here's, I agree with you. And you probably hear the national news and you know that, you know, crime is going up, up, up. And the thing that is very unfortunate is respect of the past is now of the past. We're not seeing the respect that people were taught 10, 15, 20 years ago. A lot of that is a problem because they don't have any skills. They, you know, they just don't feel good about themselves. And you talk to any of these people who've been through the system and they say, well, I'm not going anywhere. So I needed this particular thing. So I decided to steal it, period. Now, this is something also that has to change in America. We're looking at a lot of negativity in a lot of things, including social media and the news. You turn on the evening news and many times you hear the first 15 minutes is all negativity, shootings, rapings, robbery, the whole deal. Nobody needs to hear that as the first important thing of the news broadcast. The news should be what happened in the positive way. That's what we're losing, that positive attitude. Even if people tell me on a regular basis, I look at the TV shows of 10 years ago, and there was some fun and, you know, games with it. Today, it's murder, shooting, all this, you know, police, this, that. It's no good. People also have to see good things. They have to know that they are needed. They're appreciated. And I'm hearing more and more people telling me, and that's why I love hearing from people. Send me anything that's on your mind to michael@americanworkersradio.com. I'm hearing more and more stores are telling customers that they're apologizing for the delay in delivery of the items that the customer ordered. Some of them are various types of things for the house, furniture, and everything else. It's everything is delayed. It's backordered. Don't do anything. Businesses are saying, well, don't do anything if you're depending on it to be there at a certain date and time. Well, if you want to do a spring cleaning or a spring repair, you don't have to wait till fall or winter to get your stuff because it's coming back ordered from some foreign country, because now we are experiencing something even more insane with the back ordering. Not only are things in America being delayed, but people from other countries are buying stuff and their products are being delayed because the world has opened up to buy the products from several countries. And now there are not enough people in those countries to supply the world. We should really have never allowed the jobs to leave America. It was a bad thing. Somebody wrote me, which was really funny. They said, you know, Michael, just wanted to let you know, all this was started by President Nixon when he went over to China and all this stuff. And I just, you know, I get a charge out of some of the things. But that did open the door for some things to change. China was then encouraged to become part of the global economy. Many of their people never had been in any type of industries. And what happened to us now is this. I'll give you a small example. The large amount of clothing and footwear companies left the United States of America or were sold to foreign countries as the people here wanted to sell them off, where boardrooms were located in New York or Chicago. They're now totally located in a foreign country. That they did this, and we as America's consumers have to speak up and focus our dollars on what's made in America to give more businesses the hope that coming to America will be the thing to do. Expanding in America will be the thing to do. And by the way, for the record, today, one country, China, is the world's largest footwear manufacturer of all times. America's needs and concerns for shoes and boots and everything else, majority of it's coming from China. In 2017, China said with great pride, we account for 57.5% of the world's footwear production. The other 40% is coming from India, Vietnam, and Indonesia to the United States of America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, 40 years ago, 90% of what was sold in America as far as footwear was made here in the United States of America. And if you want to check that out on the internet, check my facts, do that. And you will see that the specifics that I just gave you, the totals, the percentages are absolutely correct. That means that over 90% of the shoes that we are all offered in, whether it's a sneaker store or a regular store or footwear of any type, 90% of it's Asian Pacific related, and the other few percentage points are here in different parts of the world, and that was just the reverse 35 years ago. How do you justify that? There is no way. And the people in Washington at that time thought, well, the more jobs that we get to become part of the global economy, the more peace will happen in the world. Everybody will be, you know, number one. I'm sorry to say it didn't work out that way. And Mark, I'm going to ask you one more question. I have a few questions from listeners I'm going to try to get to today. If not today, we'll do it next Wednesday. I just have to tell you that people are saying to me, how is it that our clothing industry also went this way? People from New York, some of these people are retired, and they told me that New York had so many clothing industries, which are now those buildings, those beautiful factory buildings, are now apartments or condos. Everything's been moved overseas. So the high demand and low supply is becoming bigger and bigger. It's a bigger and bigger problem for all of us. We've been clobbered by it over the years. And that's why an act like this, presented the No Tax Breaks Act, is a good idea, because it will give some incentive for people in America to expand the operations that they have and hopefully bring more of those products back. Another listener said to me, and I think this is something very interesting, they said, Michael, do you really need a specific brand name on your foot or on your trousers or whatever? Do you need a specific brand name? If it was another brand name, what is the difference if it's made here in the United States of America? Bruce, tell me what you think of that.
I obviously think it's important for as many companies as we can get making stuff in America. When you talk about footwear, I used to get furniture from Indonesia, and across the way from the factory that we got it from was a huge Nike facility, and it's not foreign companies that are shipping these in. It's Nike and Skechers and Clarks. They're the ones that are building the factories and owning the factories in Southeast Asia that make all these shoes. I got a pair of Nikes from the front of the factory for $6 when I was there once. But I mean, so it's not foreign companies. It's U.S. companies setting up their businesses in foreign countries, which is, I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
No. In fact, Bruce, you've probably seen this in the past. Some companies picked up lock, stock, and barrel, took what they were making. I know for specifically in Brooklyn, New York, some companies were just moved, totally moved abroad, took every machine, every assembly line, and just reassembled it in a foreign country to get that stuff to us exactly as the people were used to it. The same name was on the product, the same name. Nobody would know the difference. But if you looked very closely on the label, made in so-and-so, that's the difference. This is what our leaders in Washington, our business leaders, our people in the unions, everybody should have spoken up about it. That was part of the problem, where we did not do that. And now we are suffering unbelievable. When I talked to a few political people lately, they said, Michael, you're always pressing about tax incentives for, so, you know, to give to the businesses and reducing regulations and all. They said, do you realize that the tax incentives, we need every penny that we can get from the taxpayers. And I said, fine, it's understandable, but use the tax dollars you collect wisely. Use it for America first and foremost.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, that, anyway. How does that happen, Bruce? What law can we get to put all of the dollars have to go toward American needs first? And when those are all taken care of, then we can move on to the next situations. There should be funds for everything. Funds for education, funds for roads, funds for repairs of the most important things, our government buildings, whatever. But not
well,
just to...
right now, isn't it?
Well, this is what has to be done. What politician do you know that would be the person to offer that kind of a bill? Larkin, do you know anybody right now in the House or the Senate that would be the person to put that up?
I'd just find one of the politicians facing in the right direction. I don't think they're paying the slightest bit of attention, and I know that's a cynical remark.
No.
But that's the way I feel about it. It's not important to them
right
now. It really isn't. I heard an interview this morning from a young man in Palestine, Ohio, where they had a train accident, and he said, I didn't think it was totally fair remark, but he said, we're sitting over here in an area that is contaminated and with the problems that we have, and our president is in Poland giving away money that we need so desperately. That's not completely true. It's got a little bit of truth to it. It's also, Bruce, it's also a county that that Trump won, Palestine, Ohio. He won by 70%. So
are they Palestinians that live there?
Not the Palestinians that you and I know, but. It's just an issue of getting the United States, of getting Washington to really pay attention. I mean, it's disgraceful. It really is. My lawn sign, again this year, is going to be re-elect nobody.
You know, this is an opportunity right now for people wanting to be in office to come forward and speak up. The thing that drives everybody insane is when you talk to some of these political people, they speak to you as though this is a job that they must fight to keep for life. That's the main mentality that they have. Not a job that I should do my best for my constituents and do the best for America. It's fighting for a job they want to keep because they feel they went to the pinnacle of their life by being elected to this office. And now let's see what we can do to keep it and maybe even move forward.
Well, that's always been the case, but term limits is the only solution for that.
That is the biggest solution. And, you know, before we did a lot of good work today, and I will tell the senators who have been contacting me to promote this new bill. I am very pleased to do that, and I hope that they would have had that on the table 5 years ago or was it 6 years ago when they first brought it up. But it seems that there's things, as Larkin say, move very, very slowly in Washington. And people also write to me, and I'm going to ask Mark this question, this very first question. Mark, what do you feel caused the level of inflation in America that we've been experiencing in the last few years?
Yeah, Mike, it's a big question, and we all question why. Things went up. I'll use my steel as an example. It was 50 cents a pound in 2019, and it went to $1.50. Now it's a little lower, but it might be at $1.40, and stainless steel is four times more than it was 3 years ago. So there's a lot of inflation. It was caused by shortages, demand, supply and demand, but then there's a lot of gouging. And, you know, I'm third party, kind of comes from the mill, comes from a distributor, and then comes to me, because I know people that are direct to the mill that didn't see the increases I did. They might have seen 5 to 10%, but they didn't see 100% plus. So a lot of things cause that supply and demand. We don't have the mills in this country. You couldn't get the steel, you know, from overseas. China's the number one producer of steel, and not the quality steel we are. So a lot of things, Mike, to blame, but I do think inflation, things went high. I don't think you're going to see them where they ever were. We could talk about eggs at $6, $8, a dozen to fuel. Fuel is my biggest problem with this administration. You cannot say you're doing away with fossil fuel, you know, for phones, for roofing material, for fuel, but fuel drives the world. Fuel drives every I run a diesel every day, an F-350. It costs me $150 to fill the tank. I don't care who you are. That's a lot of money. But fuel, I talked to a landscaper over the weekend. He has 9 trucks he runs for plowing and for other, dynamics of his business. But his bill last year was $50,000 more than it would be in 2019 just for fuel. Now, you've got to pass it on. So a lot of things cause it. I think there's a lot of gouging, but I still think the supply chain problem, supply and demand with the supply chain breakups caused a lot of it, Mike. And I do want to compliment Bruce. You know, brand, when he talked about brands, I'm going to use Nike. I'm going to say Levi's and Wrangler. A lot of people don't realize them brands that are American-owned companies are not made here. Like, I support Texas jeans, made here. But our cotton fields are getting stronger and busier, but a lot of times I'll send the cotton overseas to produce it. But there is a lot of automation and a lot of equipment that are going to help these textile industries and clothing industries. Our Bayside is booming. They've now taken over Harley-Davidson. They're now in Walmart. The clothing industry is back on the move here for many reasons, but we're going to be a continent of consumption using Canada and using Mexico, but we are going to do more and more here. America's in a good spot right now for returning to growth here.
Yes. Now, Mark, I have one more part of the question. Do you think the situation with the Keystone Pipeline and everything else added to the fast rate of inflation?
Yeah, see, for us, our industry's got hit hard. Military work got cut off, put on pause. Again, we built the Joint Threat Emitter JEDI program for Northrop Grumman, number one training device in the world. That's still on pause. And then oil and mining, we build the equipment for Derrick Manufacturing. They do all the work for separating solids and liquids on your oil rigs. And then the Ukraine war added a problem because we put sanctions on countries that my customer dealt with that we couldn't deal with no more. So you had to navigate through, find people you can deal with. So you can't make up the last 3 years. But, I definitely think it made a change, Mike. These prices aren't going down soon. I'm just to remind, I think the good days are gone on the prices. Competition's great, a lot of gouging. We're paying prices for things. If it's electric or gas, 30 to 53% up. If it's steel, we're 100, 150% up. If it's wood, it's still high. If it's not going back to 2019 anytime soon.
Mm. Larkin, what do you feel caused the inflation to go up to where it is today?
I'd like to add something to this conversation. I want to make a comment that's probably going to curl all of your hair. But capitalism is not perfect. It's not the perfect system. Period. Amen. And but as an aside, I will completely tell you that it is the very best system in the world. There's not another one that can compete with the freedom that it creates. But you have to set the table for this stuff. You have to make moves that alert industry that, the president's doing all this stuff. We can raise prices now and blame it on inflation. And a lot of that's happened. A jar of mayonnaise, Hellman's mayonnaise, I'll call them out. A jar of Hellman's mayonnaise yesterday in the store, I check it every time I go in. Yesterday was $8.99. I apologize. A jar of mayonnaise. Now, I'm sorry. I don't know who's making Hellman's. I probably
I'll look into it, so I don't make any
That's
wild
done to it by a foreign country now. I mean, I send you that list a few weeks ago.
Hellman's is made yes. by
but there are other factors, Larkin. There's the lack of availability of labor that's causing inflation, too. Take welding, for instance. I was at a business roundtable a couple of weeks ago here in Victoria, Texas, which is miles from anywhere, is that we'd had this one company has to get welders from about an hour and a half away from here. And the cost of that labor adds to the inflation. He just can't carry it all himself. So he has to pass that cost on, you know, $45 an hour or something. So,
You know, so we have a matrix that you got to be MIG, TIG, STIC, and certified. But our welders, welding industry is going to be one of the top, $90,000 average salary. These skilled trade guys are going to, and girls, they're going to get paid money like they've never seen. It's probably going to cause the parents finally to want to get a job in skilled trades.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I've got a step-grandson who's a welder, who just became a welder. We bought him a welding vest for Christmas.
Send him over, Bruce.
I'll send him up to you. I think he's doing a good job. He's about to get married. So.
Anything, any questions he has, have him give me a call. I love welding.
Well, the thing that everybody is that writes to me has is why haven't we really put the claw down? You know, on the calling in on these call stations to the radio stations. CNN and all the others, why haven't we been speaking up that inflation is hurting every American family, making that a focal point? It seems that we're sitting back and we're accepting what's happening to us. People ask, what can be done to end inflation and return to the economy that we had in 2020? That's a good question. Larkin, what can be done to do that, end inflation and start to go back down, not up?
Well, listen, the main driver of inflation, and I hope you guys agree with this, the main driver of inflation is energy. He who has the energy is in charge. Energy rules the world. And if you don't believe that, go over and just examine what's going on in Saudi Arabia. You know, and for Biden to decide that he was going to eliminate all of the energy in this country because he was going to fulfill a promise of climate change issue, which he never investigated, he never figured out, he never involved anybody in the decision, he just made it himself. And it's what makes him, you know, not a very good president right now. How do you affect inflation? You could go back to Jimmy Carter's, by the way, I pray for that man every morning. You could go back to Jimmy Carter's time in which you have price controls. That doesn't work. As a matter of fact, price controls back when the energy crisis was going on in the early 70s was actually responsible for prices in the energy sector going up. So I don't know. I just what you have to accept is that these prices are probably here to stay. There's no company out there going to go, well, you know what, for the good of America and the good of my people and my customers, I'm going to lower my price. No. Prices go up very easily, but they don't come down very easily, and I don't think there's anybody out there prepared to lower the prices that they've raised as a result of the last round of inflation that we've had. I'd love to hear that position defeated, but I really think that's just the way it is. The prices are here, and they're going to stay here.
Well, Larkin, I have to tell you this. Our prices in America are going up, 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 as far as even our wages are going up. But the wages in the countries ruled by what we would call dictators, they haven't gone up. Very, very little, if anything. And so when those products come to America, that's why I'm pleading with people to help our American businesses, our producers, our manufacturers of every type. Those products are leaving those foreign countries almost at the same price that people were being paid back in 2016 and 17. Yet when they come to the United States of America, we're paying 40% more for an item that's not costing that much to make in the first place. The only thing that went up is the shipping costs coming over the seas because we had the prices of energy go up. So there's nobody watching this. That's why this bill introduced by Jeff and supported by over 100 Congress people and senators may be something we have to start talking about. And also, as the people tell me, we have to start talking about the trades and the things that give our youngsters a future. When you graduate, it's wonderful to have that sheepskin. It's beautiful. But what happens the day after graduation? Where do you say, I'm going to take my resume and I'm going to try to go there because I like what they do. I feel I can add something to that. That's not happening. It's like I talk to some young people and I say, and what are you doing? Well, I may be working at the shore in the summer. And then I said, and then what are you going to do? And we'll see how it works out. If a person had a trade, maybe they would want to already be in some company after they came from the shore. They'd be putting those few months in, applying for those jobs. It has to be a whole new system in. Now, in America, we give our people a choice what they would like to be. In many foreign countries, especially the new emerging companies and countries that are, you know, like China and all, they tell you where you're needed and what you're going to be. And that's it. We don't want to do that in America, but we want to encourage our young people to do what they feel is best for their future, for their well-being, so they can have a family and support themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, as you hear by the music, I have to say that's it for today. Until we meet again this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11 for another edition of American Workers Radio, I want to say thank you to Bruce Powell, to Mark Andel, and to Larkin Conley, and also to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. Thank you for all that you did. Let's continue this conversation next weekend as we prepare to celebrate another edition of National Small Business Weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of March. Have a great one, guys.